Menachem was.
Okay. We're going to finish up our topic of Kli Shlishi, because we did Kli Rishon and Sheni, and we discussed Kali Abishul, easily cooked items. So we're going to conclude with the discussion of Kli Shlishi. Why is this an issue? Because we said there are some items that are easily cooked, and therefore, even though we have a rule, Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, you can't cook in a, meaning you're unable to, and therefore it's not a problem to do so in a Kli Sheni, nonetheless, certain foods, it's usher to cook even in a Kli Sheni, because we see that these foods are easily cooked, and they can't be put in a Kli Sheni. So the discussion we're going to have today is whether that continues. Meaning, does the same logic apply if I were to move it now to a third cup? Let's just explain what a third cup is. Water is boiled on a pot on a fire. I pour it into a second device. For example, I boiled hot water and I put it into a thermos or pitcher. And now, this is the pitcher, is the Kli Sheni. Now I'm going to put it in your teacup. I pour you a cupful. That teacup is definitely what's called a Kli Shlishi. So, if I say there's a certain food that cooks in a Kli Sheni, we're mafir to not cook it, even though we're not talking about a pot on the fire or off a pot that was on the fire. Does that apply the next step too? Meaning, does the same logic apply? Meaning, I can't even cook it in a Kli Shlishi? If the Kli Shlishi is still hot, is it a problem or not? That's going to be our first topic today. It's only going to be part of the shir, at which point we're going to move on to the topic of Iruy. But when I say move on, it's really going to build off. As you're going to see, each of the sources is still going to be quoting, each source is going to be quoting that which we've been dealing with, the same Mishnah, the same Halachot, and therefore it builds up on that. So let us begin with source one. The Prima Gadim, Rav Ta'omim, we've seen him before, he discusses our topic. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch discussed that you can't take bread that was baked and put it into your soup. The soup was boiled because it's going to cook it. That, he says, even according to that mandam, but the Shulchan Aruch has machloket there, and there's one mandam that says yes, one mandam that says no in a Kli Sheni. It says, even according to the mandam that says no in a Kli Sheni, ha, Kli Shlishi, beteh v'chadome, when it comes to tea, etc., so even according to the Shita that says no to doing certain foods in a Kli Sheni, that Shita allows you to do it in a Kli Shlishi.
What's
Tmunim mean, we're going to discuss that tomorrow, but for now just leave it, because to not go off topic, water that was boiled on the fire. Okay, hatmana means insulated. So this kettle was insulated in a way on the fire, and therefore Kli Rishon, and you pour it to a Kli Sheni, and from there to your little cup, Kli Shlishi. That's what it says. But I'm not getting into the distinction of hatmana right now. Just understand Kli Rishon. Okay, so we are first going to Ha'im Mutar Vashel Nikli Shlishi. Ken, is it permissible to cook in a Kli Shlishi, a tertiary vessel? Okay. So first, we saw Prima Gadim says, even according to the view that you can't do certain things in a Kli Sheni, you can do it in a Kli Shlishi. And says the Mishnah Berurah, this Prima Gadim we just saw, he quotes him explicitly, Paskins el Allah, afil be Kli Sheni, u be Kli Shlishi, mitzadid a Prima Gadim, sif kadal amarei lakel, ayen shams. See, the Mishnah Berurah is paskining like this Prima Gadim, and the answer is, yes, according to the Mishnah Brura. And that's Rashi Teva for Mishnah Brura. Fine. Look how Rav Moshe Feinstein says this. He's going to follow along, but he's going to possibly help us explain the logic. Hine ale hate, source 3, tea leaves. Einam uvushalim basiatam, elo rak miu bashibachom. Tea leaves aren't cooked when they're made, but they're dried with heat. Ha'im utar lachin te b'kli shlishi b'shabbat. Can I cook tea in a kli shlishi? Now this is after he already said that a kli sheni is likely a problem because we view tea as something that is kalei habishol, easily cooked. Says R' Moshe Feinstein, la'aniyah daiti lo nira klal omar di'ika dvarim shemat bash in a kli shlishi. According to my opinion, there is no room to say anything cooks in a kli shlishi. Nothing gets cooked in a kli shlishi. Meaning, even if you think it's cooking, it's halachically not considered cooking. Lo matzinu, lo matzinu lo shev a kli sheni yesh dvarim habashlim. We know that the Gemara mentions a few things might cook in a kli sheni and some might not. And we're not an expert in what is and what isn't. So therefore, in a kli sheni, we're aser everything unless we have an explicit role in the Gemara. If you remember last time we said about oil, water, and the spices. Okay? Unless it's on that list, you can't put them in a kli sheni. But klishishi lo matzinu. It was never mentioned to aser anything regarding a klishishi. You remember last week we discussed the Aruch HaShulchan had this whole approach that said it's problematic no matter what. And he says, look at his example of tea. So mashkatav Aruch HaShulchan te'einenu ro'ot she'tei mitbashel gam b'klishishi. Use your eyes. Look, if you boil up the water and it's very, very hot, 100 degrees Celsius, and you pour it from one cup and to a second cup, what's its temperature? 99.9? And you stick in your tea bag, it's going to cook. So he says to us, Einenu ro'ot, furthermore though, Shemit ad min hamayim. Okay, so not only is the tea cooked in klishishi, but he says because we see it turning red. So says R' Moshe Feinstein, Lo muvanza, I don't understand it. Masharo in anu beinenu shemin ad min amayim ze eino inyan bishol. That's not because of cooking. Da'af bikarim mamash min ad min b'meshech hazman. You could put a tea bag in cold water, it will turn red. You ever try to make iced tea that way with a tea bag? You have to add a lot of sugar because it's bitter. But that is a way to make tea. You don't have to boil it up. You can have iced tea. And it turns red. It turns the same color the cooked tea turns. But kol shekein mechamim she'ena yadzo ledebo v'lo zo inyan bishol. And that is not cooking. Hagatz mechadama she'enein ro'ot eno klum. And if you need me to pacify you that the fact that our eyes see a changing color doesn't matter halachically, so he says, "Taham melach roin anu shebecham tzat margishim tam a melach kemo besamu oto bechamin shayatzal ledet." And we come akom alach kram nachman dafilu rishon lo b'shela. We know that we can taste salt if we put enough of it in our soup, and nonetheless, when you putting salt in your soup, we said you're allowed to pour salt in, even though you can have that flavor, even though it's yatzol ledetbo. Even if it's a kli rishon, we paskin like Rabbi Nachman, he says. Rabbi Nachman said you can even add a salt to your kli rishon when it's not on the fire. So he says, Chein hu ba'alei ater, shema shenitzva amayim b'chom katan eino inyan bishol. The fact that we see the tea getting color, that's not cooking. Shelchein efshar shu mikosh yabishol. We don't come up logically to come up with ways to call something bishul. Rather, we need a mesorah for it. And therefore, we have a mesorah. The Gemara said, and the Torah said, you can't cook in a kli rishon. The Gemara points out that certain things cook in a kli sheni, and our rishonim and our poskim tell us we don't know which things fall in that category. And therefore, we have to be careful and we can't cook in a kli sheni. But nowhere does it say anything about a kli shlishi. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah and the Igros Moshe say it's better to cook things in a kli shlishi. Yes?
How can you say that it's from Nikushi HaMishnah? Doesn't that mean it's hard to cook it?
So you might say that the reason that it's happening is that, but then you're coming up with explanations. But we said we don't ask for things in a kli shlishi based on logic. We need a mesorah for it. Yes?
Is there also applied to salad foods as well as noodle soups?
Oh, we will get to noodle soups. Instant noodle soup is what you're asking. Like a tradition soup or manachama.
Yeah, manachama. You just take the noodles and you put them on water.
Okay, we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss that. Okay? We will get to that today. Before I move to the Eroi part, I'm going to get to that. Okay? Fine. On the other hand, we have the people who say, still Aser. Who are those people? Source 4, Chazon Ish. Well, the Inyan Kli Shlishi, B'makom Shekli Sheni Aser. Any place we told you, you can't do it in a Kli Sheni. Kigon bepat, for example, putting in bread, which we said was baked, and you're putting it in something boiled. Or betzalim ledan achronim achmirin, those who said onions aren't considered spices in this regard, and they were machmir, remember last week? So cut up a Mishnah Berurah, shapri megadim etzadi la'acha. So the Mishnah Berurah says we're mekel. We saw that. That was source 2. V'lo matzinu makor lechalek ben shneinu l'shlishi. Okay? Just like Moshe Feinstein said, you need a Mesorah, and it only discusses Kli Sheni, and here it's Kli Shlishi. So, I am going to tell you that we have no Mesorah regarding the concept of a Kli Shlishi. It didn't exist. And yet, you're telling me there's a leniency. He says, we have no such leniency. We know the Halacha says, Kli Rishon cooks, Kli Sheni doesn't. And yet, we're not an expert at what doesn't cook in Kli Sheni, because there are some items that do, so we have to be machmir for Kli Sheni too. Who said Kli Shishi is any different? Whatever applies to Kli Sheni applies to Kli Shishi. Im dvarim mit bashlim b'sheni, mit bashlim b'shlishi. Can you logically explain to me that Kli Shlishi cooks any less than a Kli Sheni? In a davar taloy el b'chol mamay. I can explain it to you based on the temperature. If it's hot enough, yatzel let it boil, that your hand recoils from it, so then it cooks. When it doesn't, when your hand can leave your hand there, meaning it's not that hot, then it doesn't cook. It doesn't matter if that's a Kli Sheni or a Kli Shlishi. But he does agree. He has a limud zchut for those who do a Kli Shlishi. He's saying, again, since even in the first place, the Kli Sheni is a chumro, there is those we saw last week, the Meikar Adin, who said possibly Kli Sheni is allowed. So now we're doing Kli Shlishi, and you have some smarter to tell me that it's a little more makel. And in fact, look at it, very often a Kli Shlishi is indeed cooler than a Kli Sheni. It does in fact cool down rather quickly. So therefore I will tell you why some people are makel for Kli Shlishi. But the Chazon Ish indeed says, no. Who's the Chazon Ish? Rav Karelitz. He lived end of 19th century, early 20th century, and he was the leader of the Haredi community. He lived in Bnei Brak, and he was the leader without, like, he didn't have a position as leader of the Haredi community. He wasn't Rosh Yeshiva of the big yeshiva. He wasn't Rav of the town. He was just there. But everybody went to him with their shalas. All the Rabbanim, all the Poskim brought their big shalas to him, to his simple house in Bnei Brak, and therefore he was the de facto leader of the entire Haredi community, and probably also of the Jewish world in general, though that's up to debate. So he has a parish, not a parish, a commentary on his Herod, on the Shulchan Aruch, known as the Chazon Ish. It's an acronym of his name. And in his sefer, he says, there's no reason to distinguish between Klisheni and Klishishi. Let us give a little bit of rationale here. We've discussed two issues that could be with cooking in a Klisheni. One is the practical issue that an item cooks or not. Does it change? I don't know, is there a chemical change of some kind, physical change? There was another that we saw in Tosfot. What was that one called? Mechsi kimevasha. It looks like cooking. So we also saw in Rashi, source 5, this is a Rashi we had on a previous recorded sheet. The Rashi says, regarding a klisheni, the shari, the ein derech bishulo l'kach. That is not a way people cook. Can anybody tell me, based on this Rashi, logically, what the difference would be between a klisheni and a klishlishi? Do we cook, forget Shabbos for a second, do we cook in a kli rishon? Never make a soup on the fire?
No, like when I make instant noodles, I heat up the water in the kettle and I put it on.
So you're not feeding a household, you only make instant soup. But the majority of foods in the world are cooked in an oven on a fire. Hey, you make chicken soup, you put a big pot of boiling water, you drop in the vegetables, you drop in the chicken, that's all in a kli rishon. The majority of foods are cooked in a kli rishon. So anybody telling you that that's not the way to cook in a kli rishon, no, of course you cook in a kli rishon. Okay, what about a kli sheni? Again, not Shabbos, not at a religious thing. Practically, do people ever cook in a kli sheni? Yes, on a day-to-day basis, people make coffee in a kli sheni. They boil up water in a tea kettle, and they pour it in their coffee cup. Put the coffee in first, second, it's weekday, go nuts, any way you want. Okay? Coffee, sugar, milk. You can put lots of items in there, and it's normal. Oatmeal. Put some oatmeal in a bowl, pour some hot water over it. Is that the food you have there? Australia? Yeah? Okay. Maple brown sugar oatmeal? It exists? Okay. So, that is cooking. And therefore, any person who watched you take boiling water from a kettle, pour it into your cup, and add coffee, they would say, he's making coffee. They're going to go, man, that's a weird way to make coffee. There's another example, you know, you're all single 18-year-olds about, but when Zerat Hashem, when you have families and kids, so you may come to make baby formula. What is baby formula? It's powdered milk. How do you make it? You don't make it in a kli rishon, you make it in a kli sheni. It is very normal to take boiling hot water and put it in a cup in order to mix it with the powder to make baby formula. And that is derech bishul. Yes?
Is there any possible issue of taking like baby formula or coffee grains or granules or something and mixing it in like sugar and granules?
Into a kli rishon?
On Shabbos, just because. Is there any issue with like mixing stuff in?
Mixing. You're asking about mixing? The only issue with ever mixing things, meaning on the fire there's an issue about cooking, because mixing it helps things cook. That's not your topic. So there could be an issue of something called lush, but it's only when something's thick. Oatmeal could happen to certain soups or mashed potato mix. Lush means to knead. So we don't K-N-E-A-D to knead. So we don't do those, but again, in a kli shlishi, there wouldn't be a problem to make your coffee or tea or not. So anyway, so back to my example. So a person watching you make those specific foods that is normal to make in a kli sheni would see you doing kli sheni. But if I saw a person taking hot water, taking kli rishon, pouring into kli sheni, pouring something into a kli shlishi, I wouldn't think that guy's cooking. I would think that guy's OCD or nuts or whatever. And therefore, you can't tell me that's derech bishul. So the logic to say it's mutter to cook in a kli shlishi is based on that Rashi. Rashi says, ein derech bishul b'kach. It is not a way to cook in a kli shlishi. He was talking about kli shlishi in that line. But again, we said, but yes, there are foods that cook in a kli shlishi. In a cliche, think about it, it is not the derech to cook that way. It is sometimes the derech to cook in a cliche, but it is not the derech to cook in a cliche. Yes? Oh, no? Just said hi? Okay. Shmir Shabbos Kilchata. Let's see, this is the last source of quickly Rishon Sheni Shlishi before we move to Eroi, and I'll stop and discuss the incident soups for a minute. But Shmir Shabbos Kilchata, let's see how he... actually, this is already in Eroi. Okay, so we're going to stop here for a minute. Let me just finish my chart. So, May 1, cook in a Kli Shlishi. We have the Shavur and Nicholas Moshe saying yes, and we have the Chazon Ish saying no. So, based on this,
Moshe Feinstein also.
Moshe Feinstein is Nicholas Moshe. He's that second one. Based on this, in a Kli Shlishi, you can prepare a tea from a bag. Tea bag, yes, and instant soup. Based on this, you cannot prepare tea from a bag in Kli Shlishi, but the only option is essence. I heard a guy ask a question to Rav Yosef Tzvirimon, the Rav of Alon Shvut Arom, used to be a Ram here in the yeshiva, about making instant soup on Shabbos. And he said, given that we pass the night, Ingram Moshe and Mishnah Brura, as opposed to the Chazon Ish. Maybe if you're part of that Tzibor, you must learn the Chazon Ish. But if you're part of the Tzibor, a large section applies to all the Paskins like the Mishnah Brura and Ingram Moshe on this issue. So he says, technically, I can tell you the following. First, you have to understand that there are different kinds of instant soups, or instant foods, instant oatmeal. A lot of them are actually cooked already. Meaning what makes them instant soups is that they pre-cook them and then freeze-dry them. Or they most halfway cook them and freeze-dry them, etc. So really, they're technically cooked already. And if you're doing it in a Kli Shlishi, it's allowed. So he said, first of all, he actually discussed what you asked. He said, some of them you have to be careful. It might be an issue of lush, of kneading, when it's thick. He says, but without that, if it was already cooked, cooking it now in the Kli Shlishi is certainly allowed. He says, but I wouldn't want this to be a regular thing a person would do on Shabbos. Because you're really not supposed to be cooking things on Shabbos. And it's not a good habit to be in. You should have enough food ready for yourself on Shabbos to not have to do that. So, the guy was going on a tiyul somewhere and didn't want to go to the Chabad or it was too far and this is what he wanted to do once. Okay, we'll be mekel. A person, you know, on a special diet and can only have certain things, or you need the baby formula, of course. That's how he passed it. But he didn't like it as a general practice that the person should, every Shabbos, make himself an instant soup.
Nothing cooks in a Kli Shlishi, right?
Yes.
So why would it matter if the noodles are being pre-cooked?
So it could be that the Kli Shlishi is again moving off the premise that we said last week, that the Kli Shlishi we're discussing is one that's not so yatzalei school. But it's not so hot. So if it's going to be hot enough for you to be able to cook this item that it was totally raw, that means that it's still problematic. Okay? Just one last point about this. When we discuss tea, regular tea is normally roasted, according to Wikipedia, when I checked. But herbal tea is actually dried in the sun. And therefore, if you're going to rely on the... If you want to make it in a Kli Shlishi using a tea bag, you're actually definitely only relying on Moshe Feinstein. Meaning, even remember, we said the Chazon Ish thought this way, but gave a limud schus for this shita. For that instance, you would not even be relying on the Lima's Chos. You would exclusively be relying on Mishnah Berurah and Nigros Moshe. Okay. Let us move to the topic of Eroi, Purim. It is forbidden on Shabbos to pour a hot liquid from a Kli Rishon onto an uncooked substance. Even if it's the type of substance that you're allowed to put in a Kli Sheni, for example, a spice. Remember, we said oil, water, and spices are mutter to be cooked in a Kli Sheni. So, but on the way into the Kli Sheni, that's usher from a Kli Rishon. We're going to see a Chumrah and a Kula on this, possibly. Let's start with source 7. Tosfot in Masechet Shabbos discusses that case where it says you could put spices and pour water over them. So, this is the source of the Machloket. That Tosfot, we saw this already, is the Machloket. What is the status of Eroi? What is the status of pouring? When you pour from a Kli Rishon, does the pour make a Kli Sheni already, or is it still a Kli Rishon? So we saw Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, he has that it's Kikli Sheni. And we saw the Ri, Yitzchok HaZaken, he says it's like a Kli Rishon. And they each have different proofs. That's the Machloket. Is it like Kli Rishon, or like Kli Sheni? Everybody has this chart done?
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is going to be a big chart.
Eroi, Purim. First view. Rashbam says Eroi is like a Kli Sheni. Who recalls what Tosfot explained as the logic of the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? Tosfot said Kli Rishon, the walls, since they were on the fire, the pot was on the fire, the walls maintain heat. And Kli Sheni, since it wasn't on the fire, its walls don't maintain the heat. And therefore, an item in a Kli Sheni is on its way of getting cooled down. So the Rashbam applies that logic. He says, Eroi means you've poured it out of the Kli Rishon. The Kli Rishon, even while it's off the fire, since its walls were on the fire, it maintains its heat. Once you've poured it out of the Kli Rishon, it doesn't have walls to maintain its heat. Its status is like that of a Kli Sheni. Elu Mashahu Nikrom Lo Yodcha. It no longer has something to help it be hot. We have a second view. There's three views on this one. This is the view of the Ri. Ri says, Eroi ke Kli Rishon. What's his logic then? We said Tosfot's logic was an item in a Kli Rishon, even when it's off the fire, has walls to maintain its heat. What makes a Kli Sheni different? Is it that it doesn't have walls to maintain its heat? That's what the Rashbam says. The Ri says, it doesn't have cold walls to cool it. Ein lo mashahu yigrom lo liyot kar. It doesn't have something to cool it down. Now, let's go look at the third view. Third view is from Tosfot in Tzvachim. The Mishnah in Tzvachim, source 8, top of the second column. Echad shebishel bo, ve'echad sheiro l'tocho rotech. It's discussing a certain halacha, and it says both whether you cooked in it, on the fire, or whether you poured hot water over it, from the fire. And the Gemara says, where do we know this from? The Pasuk says, asher tivushal bo, anything cooked in it. It's discussing having to kasher a kli that somebody cooked in. And the other shebishel bo. Ira l'tocho roteach minayim tal melomar v'asher tivushal bo yishaver. There's a gzera that cut up there. Says Toso right there, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam.
This is our third view. You make it like this, so it's not confusing.
Rabbeinu Tam. Mikan medakdik Rabbeinu Tam. De'iroi kikli rishon, medechashek v'mabushal.
Wait, we said iroi kikli rishon.
Nope, Rabbeinu Tam qualifies what he says. Va'af agav de'kaimelan kvate de'shmuel amar tata gavar. In source 7, I kind of skipped over it. But the reason for the Rashbam that Eroi's Klisheni was based on Shmuel saying the Shita of Tata Gavra that I'm not going to get into right now. Mo the Shmuel the Mevashel Kedei Klisha. Even his Shita that it's based on Tata Gavra, the Shita of Shmuel, that when he says it doesn't cook, he means it doesn't completely cook. The outside of it cooks. The Klipa means the skin or the peel. But it's foods don't necessarily have a skin or peel, so the outside layer cooks. So Rabbeinu Tam Re says Iroi Kikli Risho. Rashbam says Iroi Kikli Sheni. Rabbeinu Tam says Iroi Mevashel Kidei Klipo. It cooks only skin deep. How do we paskin? Source 10. Seemingly, also litain tavlin mekara v'laro dalein mikli rishon. You cannot cook by pouring hot water over your spice using a kli rishon. Seemingly, he's saying you're a kli rishon. Well, you would say that, but look at source 11. Source 11 is not from Orach Chaim and Hilchos Shabbos. It comes from Yoradei on the halachos of Kashrus. It says, "Ein molgin gedim etzlaim ofer b'kli rishon." You don't take possibly unsalted, and therefore they're still bloody animals, and boil them. V'chein lo yara aleim mekli rishon, and don't pour hot water over them, because you're going to cause the blood to be absorbed in the animal. V'ira, if you did it, die b'klipat hot water. How much do I have to remove? Is the whole animal treif? No, I can just remove the outer layer. So how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Like Rabbeinu Tam. Iroi, Kidei Klipa. Any questions so far before I move on? I'm getting some blank stares. Three Shitot. Mm-hmm. Pouring hot water from a pot that was on a fire. Is it like a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni? Re says it's like a Kli Rishon. Rashbam says it's like a Kli Sheni. Rabbeinu Tam says it cooks like a Kli Rishon, but only skin deep. It doesn't really cook like a Kli Rishon. It's a middle ground between the two Shitot of Re and Rashbam. We're clear?
Yep.
Okay.
Does that mean it's okay? You want to cook like Rabbeinu Tam?
Well, you're not allowed to cook things at all. But here's what we're going to discuss. Here's where the nafkamina comes in. Let's say I have a teacup. And I want my teacup to be clean. So what do? To it? I wash it. Now I need my teacup. Do I have to dry it? What would be the issue? When I take my boiling hot water that I'm going to pour into my teacup, it's going to hit the drops of water that are in my cup on the way down. That is Iroi from a Kli Rishon. So when I pour it on my water drops, is that a problem? My water drops were never boiled. So when I have this hot water coming being poured from a kli onto my cold water droplets, I'm going to be heating up those cold water droplets. Is that a problem? Now, if that's a problem, I'm going to ask you a less stringent case. I made a cup of tea the most halakhic way. It was a completely dry cup, and I did it all. And now I drink the tea, and that was good. But still, on the bottom of the tea, there's a few drops of tea. And I go, that was so delicious, I want another cup of tea. So what do? I go through it all again. I take more hot water, and I pour it into my teacup. Those tea drops were indeed cooked already. But again, now they're cold, because they're at the bottom of my teacup after I drink the tea. I'm pouring in hot water into my teacup. It's going to heat up those droplets of water. Is that a problem or not? That is our discussion right now. And that will be the nafkamina between these shito. Yes?
Is that really the discussion? Because Rabbeinu Tam talks about skin deep. You don't have skin deep with water droplets.
Exactly. Okay? You're on to something. Okay? Very good. Says Igra Moshe, Ramosha Feinstein. V'hinei iroi mevashel kdei klipa midorei. He says, we possibly like this Rabbeinu Tam, that iroi cooks like kli rishon, but only kdei klipa, and that's midorei. V'lachein yesh lasor le'arot mitoch kli rishon rotchin, to take a hot boiling pot, l'kli shehidichu b'mayim karim shalon ebashel, to pour them into a kli that was washed in cold water, that was never cooked. And there are a few drops left, those drops get cooked. Even though I don't care. Remember, we discussed secretion means it's an inevitable result. But an inevitable result that I don't care about. Secretion de lo nichale, sometimes we have a leniency with certain comes to the rabbanon. Here he's saying it's doraita. Yesh lesser, that's usser. And therefore, before I pour in my hot water, sarach lenagvo, I must dry it. Yesh ulaila kel v'idiach mein karim shayu mevushalim v'nitzdanu. But in the second case I gave, where it was the old tea, meaning the tea was previously hot, and we said, ain bishel achar bishel, maybe I could be makel to say that those drops aren't a problem, and I don't have to dry out my teacup before adding more hot water. Why? Kevan de yesh sovrim, de ain bishel achar bishel af belachshin etstanin, v'hu gam psik resha de lo nichale. Ava balone bashlu, in my first case, where it's the cold water from the sink, la'olam yesh lesser. Stop there because the other thing is about opening cans and just the end of his tshuva answering the guy's question. Okay? So first we have Ramosha Feinstein saying we paskin like this Rabbeinu Tam. And based on this Rabbeinu Tam, I can tell you two things are true. First, you shouldn't pour can be cooked in Kalei Habishul. And since we're saying that something poured has the status of its previous kli, albeit only Kidei Kliba, so you can't pour from the kli sheni onto Kalei Habishul, because that item is still considered kli sheni. Thank you. it is not directly using a kli sheni. Again, because it cooks kidei klipa, the tea only has klipa, thin little tiny leaves. Kali abishal, very easily cooked. You cannot pour from this kli sheni on it because it will cook it. But if you take a food that doesn't cook so easily, so it won't cook it, and therefore you're allowed to cook on it. But on the other hand,
so according to that, well, you're allowed. So you're allowed to cook it. You say you're allowed to cook it, or you're not? The kali abishal.
The kali abishal, you're not allowed to pour even from a kli sheni.
So according to that, you need to make tea. You need to make a kli sheni, then put in the tea afterward.
Yeah.
Unless you have the essence, which are pre-cooked.
What do you mean, essence?
Essence is when they boil. You basically make very thick tea before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos you can take a little bit of that and add it to your hot water. And
colorants.
It's not colorant. The whole taste, everything, since it's very thick. So you add a bit of that, and then you have tea.
Cool.
I have that in the Chadarocha, by the way. If you ever want to make tea that way on Shabbos, thing there. Yes, because there are many people who are makbid. But on the other hand, if I say Iroi cooks only kidei klipa, I have an issue another way. One of the things we've been discussing is that you're allowed to cook something that's previously cooked. Let's say this is a leniency the other way, meaning I can't pour from a kli rishon onto something not cooked. In the arroz, the kli rishon al davar she'eino mevushal. I can't pour hot water from a kli rishon onto something that hasn't been cooked. But let's say I did that before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, I poured from a kli rishon onto an uncooked item. Now it is considered cooked. Or is it? It is only considered cooked kidei klipa. And therefore, it is not considered mevushal. Im ira lifnei Shabbat bo nechshav mevushal yadayin mevushal rak kidei klipa. According to the lenient view, let's try this again. Let's try to make this clear because I see some confused looks. On the one hand, it is forbidden on Shabbos to pour a hot liquid from a kli rishon onto any uncooked substance, even if the substance is something that you'd be allowed to put in a kli sheni, like spices. Since Iroi has the power to cook food, on the other hand, if you pour a scalding hot liquid on something uncooked before Shabbos, that doesn't make it cooked, because it's only been cooked kidei klipa. Therefore, you can't pour on it again on Shabbos. For example, if you pour boiling water on a tea bag before Shabbos, it doesn't make it cooked. Though, again, this is useful in order to be able to cook it in the kli sheni or shlishi in the way I just described to you, meaning to make it into tea essence. Okay. So, can you pour? May I pour hot water from a kli rishon into a wet cup. The question we just asked, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Feinstein says, what was his answer? It's forbidden because Eroi cooks the drops in the cup. And you have to be machmir because even though it's a psik resha de lo nichale, it's an iser midoraita. Ha Eroi mevashel hatipot. Ba'afilu shehave psik resha delo nichale. Psik resha, inevitable result. Delo nichale. I don't care about it. I don't need it. Have iser doraita. Psik resha, delo nichale. We have to be machmir about when it's an iser doraita. The Shvita of Shabbos disagrees with this Rav Moshe Feinstein. Shvita of Shabbos. Okay, I wrote this bio. I hope I got it right because I've learned this sefer many times, and all I knew was his name. And so I did a good Google search and found out a bunch of different things about somebody by that name, and asked around. And so I think I got the right guy, the right Rav, the right posik, but. Don't testify on this one, okay? Rav Yitzchak Meltzan, it said he was a Lithuanian scholar, but it said he was a Rav in Yerushalayim, and he wrote this sefer called Shvita HaShabbat, and he wrote many other works. He was very into the writings of the Gra, and he was close with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim. So he has a sefer called Shvita HaShabbat, and he writes the following. Shamati she'agaon ha-tzadik murenu Rav Aryeh Levi Satvik Tzatzal, a big go. He was machmir on this, Rav Moshe Feinstein. But I knew many, many, many great rabbis, and none of the others were machmir on this. And therefore, I see no reason to be machmir like this, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Shvita HaShabbat. In lach. Before I read the piece I have here from Rav Avadja, Rav Avadja's tshuva was huge, so I'm going to tell you his main points outside of it, and then we'll just read his concluding paragraph, which I put there, and I'll show you what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah are paskin on this, and that will end. Okay, in the tshuva, Rav Avadja says, number one, according to the Aruch, any psik resha de lo nichale is mutter lechachila. We don't ask it like that in general. We don't. But as an extra factor to include in order to be lenient in this case, we're going to consider that possibility. So number one, any psik resha de lo nichale is mutter lechachila. Number two, the Rashbam. Right? We have a machloket whether Eroi is mevashal. We have a shita of the Rashbam that says Eroi is kikli sheni. In other words, it's not mevashel. He says Eroi doesn't cook at all. Number three, last week we discussed, 2 weeks ago, not Kalei Bishul, but in the Shir on Kli Sheni, we said there's Yerushalmi and Ramban that says once the Kli is off the fire, it cannot be an Isser Doraita anymore. It is only an Isser Derabanan. And we said that a Psik Resha of the Lo Nichale, you have to be Machmir because it's an Isser Doraita. Well, it's no longer an Isser Doraita according to Ramban and Yerushalmi. Therefore, since it's an Isser Derabanan, we're going to be Mekel on a Psik Resha Lo Nichale. Since it's, even if it's an inevitable result, but since it's not something I want or care about, because I don't care about those few drops getting heated up, so I can do that. Four. There are five reasons he's Mekel. Combining them. Four. Many are Mekel when it comes to water. Since water can be boiled, you can drink water without boiling it, there is such a shita that there's no iser d'oraita when it comes to boiling water. Which might be why, remember we discussed last week, water, oil, and spices can be put into a cliche, added to a cliche. Why water? because it might not be Asr Midoraita. It's Machoket. We pass in that it is Asr Midoraita to boil water. But again, we can throw in that Shita as another Tzad Ahatir, another reason to be lenient. And finally, five. Here what's boiled, the tiny little drops, is Chatzi Shir. It's not even a Shir. When you're not boiling a Ravid or a Kazai, you're not boiling any normal amount. The tiny little drops at the bottom of the cup. Though there is such a Shita that such minimal cooking is also not Asr D'Oraita. Combine all those, he says, let's be Mekel. Now let's read his concluding paragraph. Zot Torat Allah, Shemutar Mitzar Adin L'Aron Mayim Chamim. It is mutter to pour hot water into this Letocha Kosh Yehudach Betzonin, into this cup, even one that was rinsed with cold water that was never cooked. V'alav Resisei Mayim Shalom Min Arachzah, and it still has a few drops from having getting cooked. The king Kishiyesh Kapit Betocho Shulchal Mashketo V'achaleh, again, or if the teaspoon is in the cup, it's not a problem. Ein Otzarach L'Nagvam Kodim Shiarah L'Mechaim, you don't have to dry them. Mikom Akom Yesh L'Na Era Kos Min Atzonin, if you could, best to just pour it out. So you don't have to dry it, but pour out anything that could come out just by pouring it out. Shake off the spoon. Then pour in the kli rishon. That's not the strongest defense of it. If you're machmir, not to do it, both in yashir, in a kli rishon, the tocha klos. In other words, first pour it into a kli sheni, then pour it into this kli. Then, or if you're machmir to dry it, tavo alav birchat tov. You are a very proper, wonderful person. You should have many blessings. I wrote my opinion. He should enlighten us to the right sock. So after you gave those five stolen la'akel, why can we make to pour in hot water into my cup, even though there's a few tiny drops of cold water? He says, Ve'ikar Adin, that's right. But if you're machmir not to, tavo alav bracha. So Rav Avadja, Ve'ikar Adin, Ein Hakpado, Aval Machmir, tavo alav bracha. Quickly read the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah here before we end. Tavshil shenit bashal kol tzorcho, a food that has been completely cooked, kesh bo mishum pishol im netzani. If it cools off, you're chayav for cooking it again. Vim hu davar yavesh shelo nitbashal mifnei Shabbat, if it's something dry that wasn't previously cooked, ein shorin oto becham b'Shabbat. You can't put it in a kli rishon to boil it up on Shabbos. You are allowed to pour from the kli rishon onto that. We said this is except for the things we consider kali official, which if you recall in the Mishnah, were chutz min amaliach hayashan, min adak shenikra kulyas haspanim, the Spanish mackerel. She'enam tzrichan bishul alamaat. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what's this based on? Haynu shemara mikli sheni. What is it he's saying you're allowed to do? You're allowed to pour from the kli sheni, meaning all this discussion is about the iroik kli rishon, iroik kli sheni, is when you're pouring from a kli rishon, iroik vashlo kedei klipa. He's saying when you do it from a kli sheni, and now it's a question, is it a kli sheni or a kli shishi? Since we've been saying all day that there's machloket whether kli sheni and kli shishi is a difference, and doesn't matter, and there's a whole discussion whether kli sheni is mevashel at all. And since we said that there are certain items that do cook in a kli sheni, we have to be machmir not to put anything in except for the ones we have a specific mesorah to put in. Because of all that, though, clearly you can be mekel in a kli shishi, and you don't have a problem when you do iroi from a kli sheni into the kli shishi. And therefore, Moshe Katov, Sifyod, Vuadin, the Shari, wrote me Kli Sheni, Al Gav Davar Lach Tzonen. You can pour from a Kli Sheni onto a cold, wet item. That's just like you're rinsing it with your hot water, and it's not like cooking, and therefore it is mutar. So, la'alacha, I would tell you, do you have to be concerned with those drops of tea in your teacup or the drops of water from your freshly washed cup of tea? From your freshly washed cup? So, Rav Feinstein would tell you, yes. The Shvita de Shabbat, Rav Avadi would tell you, really not. Rav Avadi had all those reasons to be makeable, and even so, he says, a matra double of bracha. So if it's not overly difficult, I would recommend that you do. Okay, next week we're going to discuss ladles. Does the ladle have the status of a kli sheni, or is it not a kli? For example, if I serve you soup using a ladle and I pour it into your bowl, is your bowl not a kli shlishi? Can you pour croutons into it if the croutons are only baked? Or can I dip my chal in it? Etc. That's next week. And hopefully we'll also get to hot food on your plate. Like if you have a hot steak or chicken or piece on your plate and then you put some salad on your plate and it heats it up, is that a problem? Because the steak was cooked in a kli rishon, can it cook your salad? So that's our topic next week. See you next time. Shkach.